Okay, questions from yesterday. Oh, you read. Read for the dice.
What is Master Bodhidharma assuming when he says there is no difficulty in deciding that the bodies of others are your own body too?
What's the answer? Yeah, that you're practicing every day. Yeah, anything you do constantly, you can get good at. I say an hour and a half a day, you can master anything. Nobody in the modern world does that.
Under what conditions could we practice
Buddhist
practice without self-cherishing?
Wow, that's a great question. Who wrote that? Everybody? That's a great question. See, if it's a little tricky, they have to think, you see. Right, okay. Nice, good. Yeah. That's a Tengyur, right? That's a Prasangika. Like, is the sky green? You know, based on what you said so far? Okay, good, yeah. That's a really hard question. I don't know, did we cover that? By the way, we should mention this, and we said it in a logic course one day, or I don't remember. John knows all these things. How mantras work, because really it's a mantra. So what are the two requirements for a mantra? And who said they were the two requirements? Seriously, of all things, a logician, in the second chapter of the Brahmavartika. You know that in the first class, in class 11, stuff that it felt like it had to be accepted. See, I mean, I didn't want to get into worship things that even business people or yoga people or, you know, at churches who could accept, you know, without talking about other deities and things like that. You know, that was my hope at the time. Okay, that's again. Okay, that's sort of a repeat in some ways. Yeah. I got it. It's just good. Yeah. Okay, so we gotta collate all those into one. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Good. Okay, good. About eating dinner? Good. Yeah, and that's going to be touchy, right? That's going to be touchy. How much free will is there? That's what it comes down to. Or is it a projection also? That you decide. That you see, what's the difference between trying to see other people as yourself and then waking up one morning and just being there? The second one is obviously a chronic projection. This one is too, but we're emphasizing that it's like a decision to try, even though it's not natural for you yet. It's unnatural for you. But you try, and then that plant seeds to make it natural. Yeah, good. That's like gets into the immeasurable, why they're called immeasurable, the core immeasurable. Especially in Vajrayana practice. Any others that missed? Oh yeah, nice. Let me write it down. Okay, good. Good. I'm on the second and third one by me, good. Okay. Very eloquent. Very eloquent. Okay, we skip to class 7 now. So unfortunately, 2 come after your last one, right? You don't hear 5 and 6. You come in on 7, which is the second weekend Saturday afternoon. And by the way, about the scheduling, James, I don't mind how you guys do it, but do it in a way that you think might bring more people to the afternoon. Like, if you think it'd be better to have it closer into the evening, you think? Did you think that? Not so much of a break? I don't remember. Mm-hmm. 7, and then the afternoon, please. Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah. So, the idea of starting is Sunday, 7 to 9. Yeah. And then, have an hour dinner break before that. Because 46, the afternoon class is 46. I don't know, you guys talk it over, but I thought if I started later, we might get more people, I don't know, in the afternoon. And one thing about Friday night, which is unfortunate, it has to start It has to stop at 8. It has to go from 6 to 8. I have a class at 8 from 8 to... It'd be nice if the Friday night could happen from 6 to 7:30. We have a conflicting another sitter from 8 to 10. So we can push that back to 8 to 10 minutes. And I thought on a Friday night it might even be better in New York City because people could come from Europe and get home. But, sorry for that. Okay. At the same time, and people will get confused, and that's okay. Okay, so we're on verse 140, I think. So maybe Mrs. Stillwell? Okay, good. Those who are inferior to you and so on, be yourself. Make yourself now none other than the others. Practice the attitudes of jealousy and competitiveness and pride without any misgivings at all. First from the same verse in course 11 because I think it wasn't translated very well. And I translated it, okay? The first one. I have read new commentary. Christy Law helped me. And if you read the old one, it said, practice this with a state of mind that's free of ideas, the feelings of jealousy, competitiveness, and pride. But I've checked other commentaries, and Christy Law pointed out that the Sanskrit looks funny, and I don't know if you noticed, but there's something going on in the Sanskrit here, too. Gyalpo Day bases his presentation now on this verse, saying we're going to explore three relationships. One where you are lower than the other person. One where you are equal to the other person. And one where you are superior to the other person. So normally, in our minds, what do those three relationships engender? How do you feel towards people who are better than you? Jealousy. How do you feel towards peers? Competitiveness. How do you feel towards those who are lower? Pride. Okay? So Gyalpo Jay is saying, okay, look, Master Satyadeva is about to go off on this thing about three attitudes. One towards people who are better than you, in which case you get jealousy. And then one towards people who are equal to you, in which case you feel competitive. One towards people who are lower to you than you, in which case you feel pride. Well, what's interesting in the Sanskrit is there's not three emotions listed, there's only two. One is irsha, which is jealousy, and one is manam, which is pride. And some Tibetan translator has thrown in the competitiveness. Okay? It is kind of interesting to me, you know? There's no clear division into three in the Sanskrit, only two. But the Tibetan translator, you know, when, 1,000 years ago, felt like the word for jealousy had to be clarified by adding the word competitiveness. So he called it jealousy competitiveness. And then Gyalpo Jay, by his time, which is 400 years later, he's treating them as two parts of a three-step process. First you're jealous, then you're competitive, and then you're pride. So it's very interesting. And don't forget that Gyalpo Jay's outline is imposed on the text, right? Gyalpo Jay has said, this is how I feel the text should flow. And he is closely following Prasakaramati, who was his hero, I think. He mentions Prasakaramati a lot. So anyway, you've got a commentary. You've got Bodhisattvatara written when? This is 700 A.D. Then you've got, in 1000 A.D., you've got Prasakaramati. He's 250 years later. I mean, imagine how ACI teachers are going to comment on what we say today 250 years from now. Okay. Will it still be as fuzzy as it was today or worse? You see? And then you've got Gyalpo Jay coming 400 years after that. So, don't forget we're dealing with a text that's 13 centuries old. And we have to keep that in mind. So anyway, we're about to start off on a sort of a dark exchanging self and others. This is not some kind of happy thing where you say, I'll put myself in your shoes. I do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's the Christian version of exchanging self and others. It's not that easy here. It's a lot darker. Okay, and it was hard for me, and I had a lot of trouble with this verse. What he's suggesting, Master Shantideva, is that, okay, let's start out with pride. Sorry, what was the first one? Jealousy. Let's start out with jealousy. Somebody else is higher than you. Okay? Somebody else is higher than you. So, you know, I want to say that exchanging yourself and others, like you go to hear the Dalai Lama speak and he's like, well, put yourself in other people's shoes, you know. Treat them as you would be treated yourself. You know? Just have a time. He's saying, get this. He's saying, put yourself in other shoes and see how dark it is to be around a bodhisattva like you. Okay? Isn't that weird? He's like, put yourself in other shoes. See how they look up to you as their spiritual teacher. And you're going to see there's a point to be your student. With all your mental afflictions going on about your students. You see, it's a very dark, you know, when you really study it, it's not this jolly thing where you say, oh, I know you'd like to have a tea as much as I would. I'll give you my tea. It's not like that. It's like, I set myself up. You set yourself up as somebody else's spiritual teacher. Do that first. You're this bodhisattva. He keeps calling you bodhisattva. It sounds almost sarcastic. Okay? You're the bodhisattva, capital B. How do your students see you? What can they expect from you? How should they feel about you? Don't forget, this is by Master Shantideva. He has a huge following in the monastery. I mean, well, eventually, right? But he was in the Dharma business. He was a Dharma teacher. He had, I feel through the text, he's either warning you or he's a failure that he's become aware of as a Dharma teacher. Jealousy towards other Dharma teachers. Pride as a Dharma teacher, you know, competitiveness. You get that sense in this, okay? So now we're going to do an experiment in this verse. You put yourself in the shoes of your student, and you look at you, how is this experience? Okay, how's it going? And he says, without any misgivings at all, okay, which I had mistranslated in the before. Why did I mistranslate it? I couldn't believe what was going on until I read Prajnakaramati. Here's what Prajnakaramati says. And I'll just do a loose translation. Ditamjen yomombe gyu yin yam dakta shindu jepe namba chanwe gyu nidu gyurwak chedda. Ditamjen yomombe gyu yin. Thinking like this, putting your mind into these states, is just going to upset your mind more. More fleshes. More mental fleshes. If you really get good at the meditation we're about to begin, you're going to practice jealousy, competitiveness, and pride. The exercise is to practice actively jealousy, competitiveness, and pride. Okay? Like, it's uncomfortable to be in that mind state. And I asked, we called Rebecca this morning. Did she come? Last night. Oh, she's going to come in the evening class. But I asked her, get me a copy of the screw tape letters and bring it to class. This is by C.S. Lewis. If you don't know the book, it's about, it's letters written by the devil to his nephew, who he has assigned to corrupt a young man in England during World War II. So the devil, you just read this correspondence, you don't see anything else between the devil and his nephew. And the nephew will say stuff like, something bad happened today. I'm even embarrassed to tell you, the guy walked into a church. And then the devil writes back, don't worry, get him looking at the girl. Get him complaining about the other people singing. Get him worried about how what do you call it? You know how bad the other people in the church are. What do you call it when they do something, that you preach and then you do the thing yourself? Hypocrisy. Get his mind on everybody else's faults. Don't worry. You know, and stuff like that. It's this really terrible exchange of letters between the devil and his nephew. And C.S. Lewis, in the introduction, he said, I almost went crazy writing this book, because I had to put my mind into the devil's mind for like a year. You know, I had to think like the devil for a year, and it almost killed me. You know, it's a very powerful book. So what Prajnakaramati is saying, we're about to embark on the same experiment. You know? You are going to purposely put your mind into states of jealousy, competitiveness, and pride. In the hopes that you'll realize how screwed up it is. How twisted it is. You see? If you're going to practice thinking in a twisted state of mind, in the hopes that you will, you know, figure out how bad it is. It's very interesting. So that's what Prasanna Kanamati says. And he says, Dinye Chipe Chir Yin. These are exercises for Chiba. What's a Chiba? Chiba, do you know? Chiba means an infant, a kid. And it means somebody who is not an Arya, somebody who hasn't seen emptiness yet. It's called a Chiba. This is, what do you call it in the West? Stages of a baby's development. Anyway, Chiba is specifically from 2 to 4. Well, how old is Dilla? Yeah, well, almost there. Almost a Chiba, okay. Anyway. Also, there's a thing he says, Nargyal la sope semgi dikpa selwarkye. Which means, I want you to selwarkye means, get it very strong in your mind. These dikpas, what's a dikpa? Bad karma. Of Nargyal la sope, pride and other screwed up states of mind. I want you to do these bad deeds in mind. Clearly. Get it straight in your mind. Get really into this twisted state of mind, you know? And then later he says, don't worry, I'm not trying to miss, you know, make you go to the hell realm. I'm trying to make you see how screwed up they are so you can overcome them. You see what I mean? That's all. That's all. But it's kind of a scary exercise to me. This is the exchanging self and others, okay? It's much different from, oh, think you're out there and think she might be thirsty, or I can appreciate you being on time today, or I'd like to have some time to talk about Taiwan. You know, put yourself in her body. Not like that. You're the big body sattva. Put yourself in the student's mind. See how they see you. So here we take off on the first exercise. So according to Gyaltabjay, we go through 3 states of mind. Jealousy, competitiveness, and then pride. So first we're going to do jealousy. That's verse number 141. Okay. Go for it. So you claim to be a spiritual teacher. You're an ACI teacher, right? You want your students to be enlightened? Do you want to empower your students to become teachers themselves? Do you want them to, develop maybe even beyond your skill, like a piano teacher whose student becomes better than them? Or would you like them to think like this about you? You see? Oh, my teacher should get the honor, and not me. Isn't this what you really want out of them? You see? It's very screwed up. You know? Oh, people should talk about Martin as being a good teacher here. No one should ever talk about me. I'm just a student. Okay? Got it? This is a reverse jealousy. It's a screwed up jealousy. This is the jealousy this is what you want them to have, right? Oh yeah, well, it can be a holy attitude, right? It's interesting. But I mean, isn't this kind of what you want them to think? I think Master Shep, this class you have to meditate on. Like, you'll get confused. I got confused. Where am I here? Who am I? What's going on? But basically, isn't this really what you want? Don't you really want them to be like, oh, he's so good. And I should just stay down here and nobody, you know. He should get all the things he wants, and I shouldn't get anything. You know? Everyone should praise him, and no one should notice me. He should get all happiness, and I should have all the trouble. Isn't that what you really want from other people? You bodhisattvas, he's making fun of us. He's making fun of himself. Put yourself in their shoes, looking at you the way you really would. Put yourself in their shoes, right? Change places with them. Look at yourself the way they look at you. Stuff like that. That's the whole idea. Got it? It's hard. This you've got to meditate on, okay? I have a feeling that it will unlock itself to those people who spend half an hour a day on it between now and August 15th or whatever it is. Yeah, doesn't it? Yeah, as a teacher. But, you could read it, and I don't mind if you read it, and I don't mind if you teach it as, why don't we take this place with regard to other people? Why don't we put them up and say, they should get stuff, I shouldn't get. They should be praised, I shouldn't be praised. You take that. You should take the back seat, let other people, you know, put other people up ahead of you. Oh, there's going to come a verse in about 2 verses from now, and then it will become clear. Okay. Later, he does say what you just said. Okay, so it gets very confusing. And I don't mind either way you teach it. Doesn't matter. Okay? Either way will work. But, Prajnakaramanti's way, you are practicing darkness. Okay? It is jealousy. It's a reverse jealousy. When you're jealous, and you want to be the big man, how do you really want other people to relate to you? Oh, you should get everything, I shouldn't get anything. You're the greatest, I know that. Is this what you really want out of teaching people? It's being very, very disturbing in a way. Now, if you want to go that way, or if your students look like they need some self-esteem instead of, I don't know. Okay? You judge your students, and I'm sure it was designed to go either way. As so many Buddhist teachers. The point is, it's not going to get up and by the way, I have to tell you something exciting. His Holiness has agreed to come to Tucson and teach this chapter in 2005. Remember Steve? It's a very limited seating at the Texas Center. We're working very hard on it. I could see maybe the whole Diamond Mountain faculty and students could be there because they will be in session. And it'd be nice even just to fly out for that weekend. I think it's a 4-day teaching the whole chapter, so meditation and if you might go talk to Chuki now, one of the Chuki and maybe see, I don't know, we've been guaranteed a few seats, like 50 seats or something, which is ridiculous. And we're trying to politic among the sponsors for more. In Vancouver, he's teaching at University of British Columbia. It sold out in 25 minutes, and people were fighting for tickets. And that was funny. And then, just out of public outrage, they moved it to the hockey stadium, and 15,000 people came, and it was sold out. And then in Toronto, 30,000 people came. And we had the pleasure to be there, the honor to be there, and be in Bishop teaching dialogue. And have this tete-a-tete. It's so powerful. They put out easy chairs on the stage, and they just jumped at each other for 2 hours. And, you know, exchange wisdom. It's really, it's very powerful. Anyway, in mind. Keep it in mind. So I would say that verse is like, isn't this what you really want out of your students? You want them to run around, take all the pain, and you just bask in the glory. What's this here? Again, isn't this what you really, isn't this where you really want to be? This, you know, is it, now you're them, right? And they're you. And don't you really want them looking up to you like that? How does it feel to be one of your students? Of a defective bodhisattva? His real interest is that all these people look up to him. See, that's how Prajnakaramanti takes it. Okay. Now, obviously, it could be some very noble thing where you're like, oh, other people than me should relax. I should do all the work. Other people should get famous. I should look like a nobody. Know nothing. Okay? You can do it either way that's comfortable for you. Alright? I mean, I think a lot of people might react better to the simpler presentation. Take the back seat. Let, are these things are called chunks? Bodhisattva, Bruce Simpson, living being. That's the two people in the exchange. The exchange here is a huge exchange. It's you and all other living creatures. You, the Bodhisattva, he's referring to us as Bodhisattva. Throughout the text he calls you Bodhisattva. It means like aspiring Bodhisattva. Around here it gets almost sarcastic. Oh, Bodhisattva. You want everyone to think, you want everyone else to work hard and the Bodhisattva should do that. Okay? And you want everybody else to get, everybody should think all these other people are know-nothing. And you should be Mr. No-No, right? That's what you really want, right? I think he's picking at you that way. See how it feels to be your student. And you're expecting your students to run around and work, and then you sit at John Bailey's and have another sushi. Okay? Alright? Something like that. Yeah. Awful quiet. I think there's that layer thing, lasagna thing. You can take it on many, many levels. Teach it on many, many levels. Don't forget, he's coming from a monastic background. He has lived his whole life in a monastery. Yeah. For him, it's all about students, lamas, disciples, sponsors, and monks. Those are their, the whole book is written from that point of view. The fact that we can relate to it all is pretty cool. It's from a whole nother society. From a monastic society. Right. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, meaning sentient, all people. No, no. No, I'm suggesting he's saying you're supposed to be a bodhisattva. That's what this book is about. It's the guide to Bodhisattva's way of life. You're supposed to be the Bodhisattva. Now, how do you really want to relate to people who are lower than you? Well, let's push and see how it feels. Oh, you want them to put you up. You want them to pay for your air price. You want them to work for you, you know. You want them to go hungry, run around and get the breakfast while you eat. It's jealousy. That's what you expect out of people. That's how you want your students to relate to you as a higher person. Get it? It's hard. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, your own weaknesses. Absolutely. And you're in a group of people, they all look like younger and they're not going to get it. You can say, look, we should be lower, other people should be put up higher, you know. We should eat less, they should have less food, you know. We should run around for them, do the drafting. We should sit home and plan grand ventures. You know what I mean? Like, that's how we should. Your lama is a normal person, that's there. Your lama is also a tantric deity, that's there. Is it a pen or a shoe toy? You see, the both levels are there. Which one do you want to be at? You see, it's very interesting. Emptiness means all those levels are there. Which one do you want to live at? It's very interesting. Okay? Go ahead. Yeah. 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 Yeah, I understand. I like that. Did you get it? I have another statement to make about that. Why did he do equalizing first and exchanging second? It seems to me like you would get to the first by doing the second. Let me tell you one more thing. By exploring your own screwed up mind, you would come to to a place where you could be equal to other people. You could treat other people equally. Like, if you really understood how twisted your mind is when you get up and teach ACI courses, then hopefully you could overcome those states of mind and treat people truly equally. You know, I'm almost like, he tells you to be equal, then he tells you to exchange to see how unequal you are, so you can truly be equal. I suggest one more step. I like your thinking. Explore in your next 2 months meditation. This is supposed to happen first. That's the kind of mantra that equal first. Yeah. Cool. Okay. So anyway, those are, yeah. Think about nothing. Yeah. It's up to you. You have to feel your student. I agree. New York has an edge. New York has an edge. We passed by a storage unit on the FDR. This huge sign, and there was a very expensive woman's high-heeled shoe there. And it said, my owner is in her combat boots, men are bastards stage. Meaning the high-heeled shoe has to stay in the storage for now. Nowhere in the United States could you have that sign. Hundreds of feet high. It's only in New York, you see. Yeah, I agree. You have to, and most of the people are in a position where they might, we call it rising to new levels of hypocrisy. As you learn more and more Dharma, and you get higher and higher up in the Dharma hierarchy, and you have to teach things that you obviously can't practice, you know, go to higher levels of, like, it becomes more and more evident that we can't do it, you know. So anyway, then we have squabbles in the car and John Brady like, okay. 143. Who's gonna do that? Mark, are you? This is getting more clear, and the punchline's about to come, which is why I'm giving you the dark interpretation. Okay, here we go. What's the use of having no good quality? Your students are looking up to you. The shining light. You know, the bodhisattva. You know, they come to your class. It's always that they come to 2 or 3 classes. They still haven't seen you pick your nose or get angry. And, they're like, man, this is it. You know, my whole life I never met a real, you know, here it is. Finally. I had somebody write that to me, right? We were forlorn looking for the saints, you know, and then later, oh man, no. So, you know, like, no, I mean, people want to meet a saint, you know? And the reason they do or don't is their own karma, right? But that's another point. But you know, at the beginning, you look like this shining example. So, wow. Why shouldn't I have his or her good qualities? You know, why shouldn't I be like Nancy Chan? I'm gonna do it. I can do it. You know, this is a student, ACI student in their first class. Like, look at this wonderful lady. I can do that. We'll strive that they have them all. Meaning, I'll get these good qualities, and then I'll teach every living being to have these. So they is everybody. Them all is good qualities. Okay. I'm gonna work hard. And I'll become a bodhisattva, and then everybody will follow me, and everybody will have the good qualities that Nancy Karen has. That's their attitude. Then in between this and the second half of the verse, comes a doubt in the student's mind. How could I ever reach Nancy Karenhood? You know, how could a schmuck like me ever get that amazing? You know, there's a doubt. They get a, what do you call it? They feel disgraced. They feel like, oh, I could never do it. Then there's a, like Master Shantideva or somebody says, look, there's people who are a lot worse than you. Okay? There do exist those to whom, this one meaning me, the student. Okay, this one is me, the student. This one is me, the student. Oh, I shouldn't be so discouraged. Because there are people worse than me. There's people who didn't get to an ATI class. And I'm not so bad. At least I made it in the class. I got the karma to hear this stuff, but even though I can't do it, you know. And there's people on the streets who are just gonna die, never having heard any other option. There will be people like that. I'm not so bad. But, okay? And there are also those compared to whom we're highest. Meaning, sorry. I blew that. Scratch that. Sorry. I got it reversed, okay? And you'll do it too. Believe me. This one is Nantikan. This one is the Bodhisattva. Okay? You're the student. You're looking at your teacher. And you're saying, look, this Buddha, there's people who are even higher than this Bodhisattva. Okay? Everybody, she's not discouraged. There's people who are a lot higher than her, and she doesn't give up. Got it? Okay. So, there's a big range of people, spiritual people. There's Dalai Lamas, there's Buddhas, there's Khyen Rinpoche, you know. Nancy Karen is great, but even she's got a ways to go. This one meaning the person whom you're practicing jealousy towards, okay, or person higher than you, your teacher, or whoever it is. Okay. Then, oh, and there's also those compared to whom we are highest, meaning there's lots of schmucks around New York that never made it to an ATI class. Got it? So don't feel so bad. Nancy Karen's not all the way either. She's got ways to go. She doesn't get this good. And compared to me, there's people who are even worse. There's people who didn't even have a chance to be hypocrites. Because they never heard this stuff. Got it? Oh, it's getting quieter and quieter. You alright? Are you alright? Got it. Okay. Okay, here we go. By the way, Delta J says, so I don't have to be, if I kick butt, I can get enlightened. Oh, don't forget you're the student here. You're Nancy Karen's student. This one means Nancy Karen. Got it? You'll get confused, I swear, it's hard. Okay? You are Nancy Karen. You're putting yourself in your student's body. Now you're looking at Nancy Karen again, and you're discouraged because you say, how could I ever be as good as her? And then Shantideva says, look, there's people a lot better than her. She's even got ways to go. And there's people a lot worse than you. So don't get discouraged. You'll make it okay. You'll be okay. And it's like that. There's huge gaps between people in the world, you know. I mean, some of the teachers, the Dalai Lama doesn't have anyone that, the thing about seeing him with Archbishop Tutu was you got some feeling that he had a peer. He was around someone that he could actually talk to as an equal. And I remember, I was with Khyen Rinpoche like 15 years. And then, Lhati Rinpoche came. And Song Rinpoche too. These are high, high, high lamas. And they went out on the porch and talked for 10 hours straight. And then I thought, man, he must be lonely for the last 15 years. He's got me and Art Engel to talk to. You know? No, and he's got nobody on his level to talk to. There are such levels in the world. There are people thousands, millions of lifetimes ahead of us. And there are people on the street here who are millions of lifetimes behind you. Why get discouraged? You know, I mean, you're really good doing good, you know? And even really good people have a long way to go. We're all like, we can be millions of years of development apart. It's kind of awesome. So don't get discouraged, you know? You're doing good. You're like halfway there. And there's people a million years ahead and there's people a million years behind. So don't feel so And those ahead of you in this lifetime are also a million years behind. So don't get nervous. Everyone's got a ways to go, and we're doing pretty good. Like that. Yes. Wait till you get the punchline, and then I think the next. Oh, he's setting you up, okay? He's setting you up. Okay, do two more verses and then ask me. Okay. That's the other thing, right? You ready? Verse 144. Alright, cool. He's starting to set up for the punchline, okay? He's starting to set up for the punchline. The state of our morality, views, troubles, and the rest is forth. Okay, what does he mean? Who are we right now? Who are we right now? An anti-caring student. Okay? What's the state of our morality? You can't keep it. Okay? We're bad at it. We didn't do our book today. View is even worse. View is, do you get that everything in the world is happening because of what you do to others? Do you get it? Do you have worldview? That's the name of our whole organization. ACI is part of your worldview. ACI is part of worldview. EBI is part of worldview. ACI is part of worldview. CJ is part of worldview. Why do we call it worldview? This is the root of all things. Get that, you got everything. Your life is coming from whether you took care of somebody else this morning or not. That's it. Okay? So they're saying, my morality is bad, I don't keep my book well. Two, I have lousy worldview. I fight with people. Why? Because I don't get it that I made them because I fought with them yesterday. My morality stinks. My worldview stinks. Okay? What else stinks? I have trouble. I have trouble. Gyaltsen Jay says, so a good shape. Means, I got life troubles. I can't make enough money. Things don't work out. My job stinks. My family's in a mess. My wife is angry at me. My kids don't listen to me. Troubles means that, okay? I got plain old world life trouble. So, where are we at? Can't keep our morality. Don't have good worldview. Our life is a wreck. Okay. Now, the question is, well, what can we do about it? I can't do anything. It's forced by affliction. I can't control myself. Is there any hope for me? No. I can't control my anger. I can't control my desires. It's not that I want to be like this. Okay? Who are we? Who's saying this? We are an anti-care student and we're saying this. Who are we really? Anti-care. When Nancy Karen thinking how Nancy Karen's students are thinking, when they look at her and aspire to her hard qualities, that they've just been encouraged that they could get. Got it? The last verse was what? Oh, don't think you're smart. You can make it. There's people better than her and there's people worse than you. Now this verse says, they're talking now. You know, I just can't control myself. My life is worse. My morality is worse. My Buddhism is worse. Why? I can't control it. Not by choice. Not that I want to be like this. I just got these mental afflictions pushing me around. Okay? You're still Nancy Karen's student. Ready? Now for the second half of the verse, which is a totally different section in Delta J's outline. You gotta help us. You gotta take care of us. Here's where the punchline starts getting set up. By the next verse, you'll see that the dark interpretation is probably the right one. Okay? You gotta help us. Who's talking to whom? Nancy Karen's students are talking to Nancy Karen. Nancy Karen's students are Nancy Karen. Yeah. And you're saying, look, I know I'm defective. Could you help me? You're Nancy Karen as a student talking to Nancy Karen as a teacher. Couldn't you, help me out a bit? Teach me, lead me, guide me, be an inspiration for me. Okay? And we'll do whatever it takes. You know? Even if it hurts. Tapas. Okay? This part is about tapas. You're still an anti-caring student. You be our glowing light, our shining light. We'll follow your example. And if we gotta cut ourselves or stay in the desert for 3 years or whatever, we're ready to do it. You just lead us on. Okay? Got it? Alright. Something happens now. They come to their second ACI class. They see how much of a bodhisattva you really are. They start to get to know you. They see you fight in the car with your holy consort. You know, they see you pick your nose. They see you, how much you really know about the course. Okay? Something happens between this and the next verse. And here we are. Who gets to do the depressing one? Michael, you're cheerful. You do it. The student suddenly sees who you really are. I thought you wanted to help me. I thought you were here to help me. Okay? Why do you talk bad about me? Why do you put me down? I thought you were supposed to help me. Now you're like competing with me. You feel like threatened by me. Well, who wants to be like you? Okay? Okay, got it? This is where the darkness hits. We've been setting you up for this. Okay? The student, Nancy Karen, suddenly sees what Nancy Karen's mind is really like. I'm just using you as an example. Sorry. I could use me, but it's too obvious. Okay? And then, like, it dawns on them. You're teaching because you want to look good. You're teaching because you want to look smart. If they ever started to get good at what you're teaching them, you'd feel threatened and you'd start putting them down. Okay? Would you really want them to see emptiness before you or something like that, you know? Or do you enjoy being the teacher? You see? It's like a moment of revelation for them. They just met the real you. And they're like, oh, you really have good quality. You're a real spiritual being. Okay? The whole thing is like a very sad realization on their part of the nature of your mind. Gyatso J says, if bodhisattva's qualities are the ones you exhibit, I don't want them. This is the student looking at me. Where are you now? Whose mind are you in now? It's weird, right? You're almost in both, aren't you? Like, your messed up mind is in the Nancy Karen's mind. And you're the student, but you're also the student looking at her. Okay, get it? It's very confusing. Got it? You're you and other people in your student's mind, looking at you but with your screwed up mind. And they, you in the student's mind, is saying, who wants to be like you? In the last verse they're like, oh, you're my shining light. I want to be like you. This verse is like, oh man, I just got a glimpse into your state of mind. I don't want to be like you. Okay? Yeah, it could be. Yeah, you are. This is the exchange of self-awareness, and he's got you there, right? He's got your exchange. You can't even figure out who you are. Right? No, like, it gets confusing. When Rinpoche taught this, you know, in Pidgin English in 1975 or something, well, like, you know, no, I mean, hard, it's really hard. Okay, got it? Got it? This is not gonna have a break again, okay? Because we're on a roll, we might as well do it, okay? Sorry. Who's turn to me? Oh. Sintama, Venerable Sintama. Okay, moment of truth. They're like, this guy's headed for the hell realms. He's not a bodhisattva. He's like headed for the hell realms. He's used that twice, do you remember? Do you remember where he used in the jaws of in this book before? I dimly remember, okay? It was, if you don't have moment-to-moment samadhi, your head is in the jaws of mental friction. You know? I call it a fire hazard. If you don't do your book, if you don't do your morning practice, if you don't do your morning yoga, you're a fire hazard. You're a walking fire hazard. You know? Something's gonna blow up. You're gonna screw up. If you're not, like, did your yoga, if you didn't do your meditation, if you're not doing your book, you're just a walking time bomb. Sooner or later, you're gonna screw up today. Okay? You can't trust you. You shouldn't be around you. Okay? So it's like, this person, anyway, here, he's in the savage jaws. Karnepa means his head is in the lion's mouth. Okay? This bodhisattva called bodhisattva, this one who is so higher than me, this one who's such an inspiration for me, who I just figured out is teaching out of pure desire to be powerful and to be a big shot, he's about to go to the lower realms. Who wants to be like that? Okay? Who wants to be like that? That concludes the exchange of self and other at the first level. Jealousy? But, you see, can you call it jealousy? I don't know. You see? It's very weird. And maybe that's why the Tibetan translator threw in that jealousy competitiveness. You see what I mean? Maybe it's not. But, they just figured out that your real motivation is to look good. This student just figured out that your real motivation is to look good. They went through this process of, oh, I should serve you. I should take care of you. You're so wonderful. I want to be like you. And then by the end, they're like, God, I don't want to be like you. You're about to go to hell realm. What kind of bodhisattva are you? Okay? It's been a very depressing, dark trip. Okay? It's not at all like, put yourself in Dilma's seat. It's hot in here. She'd like to have some refreshments. She wish you were here on time. She'd like to get out on 5 because she has to call somebody and get to dinner and, you know, and have, do some other stuff, you know, and it's not like that at all, is it? It's like, you put your head into the head of the people that you're teaching Buddhism to, and you see how it feels to be them. It's very disappointing. Okay, got it? It's very dark. Okay. By this time you get to the, that's the punchline, okay? It's the depressing punchline. Now how you present it, I don't know. Okay, it's up to you. Probably the class before will be more along the lines of exchange me and Dilma and think about heat. Okay? But you get stuck with the dark class. So far you got the really hard class, number 2. And you got number 4, which is not easy. And now you got the dark class, okay? Maybe you can cut this verse out, tear it out of the notebook if you want. Up to you. Okay. This is the one where it becomes obvious, right? I think if you read this one, you see you gotta go back and the rest has to be dark. Okay. It says, we have now concluded the exercise in jealousy. That concludes the exercise in jealousy. What's the next exercise? Competitiveness. Okay. How do you feel about other ACI teachers? How do you feel about the Geshe Kyosan Gyatso Nyukadampa group, which has centers springing up everywhere, huge temples being built in Paris and New York State, and teaching excellent Dharma everywhere, you know? How does that strike you? You know? Okay? Okay? How do you feel about that? I get jealous. I get jealous. Then I got to go through all these long trips to apologize to people, you know, and confess to people. You know? Yeah, I do, and it's very sick, okay? It's very bad. Okay? In fact, there should only be one cancer doctor in New York, you know? I should be the only cancer doctor in New York. Come on, I'm so sick, you know. There should be lots of cancer doctors. There should be all kinds of specialists in different treatments who can help everybody. Hey, sick. Okay, anyway, we're going to explore now the sixth state of mind. Okay. One of the great things about the yoga tour was that we forced everybody to stay in their room until 1 p.m. So you could sleep, you could watch TV, but you had to stay in your room, and you couldn't talk. And you know, you couldn't say you didn't have time to do your practice, you know, right? And we didn't allow any activities before 1 o'clock. We didn't travel before 1 o'clock. You had to do your thing before 1 o'clock. And I can say that in the tour, one of the brilliant things was there were 12 people teaching, and they were perfect. They got really, really good at it. The last day, we're in Tucson. We got it word that Rebecca was in the hospital with kidney stones. We rushed to the hospital. We all sit there in the ER waiting room. And on the radio comes an interview with four of the junior members of the tour, one of who's only 16, that I didn't even know about. And I'm sitting there in the emergency room listening to this interview on the radio about the heart yoga on the Tucson radio. And it was extraordinary. I mean, these people got really good at it, and then they were going, we would hit like five Barnes and Nobles in one day. Just 12 people would just go, you know. And it was so beautiful. And the cool thing was, I think because they were practicing, they were all really excited about each other. They were like, man, you gave a perfect talk. You know, that thing you said about, you know, the heart chakra, I'm going to steal that for my next talk. And the guy said, no, but your talk was so cool last week, you know. And there was this really, really fine energy. There was this really encouraging energy going on. I didn't hear one, like, jealous thing. You know, it's really nice, really healthy. I think because everybody was not a firehead, because they were doing their practice. Okay. I don't think there's a lot that needs to be said about the next few verses, but we'll go through them. You're up. Got it? That's easy, right? Oh, very good question. You're in your peer's head, but you have your mental fiction. Okay? Did you really want all the people around you to think like you think? Your life would be unbearable. If all the people around you were as mentally disturbed as you are, your life would be very uncomfortable. I think the second. Okay? Like, I'm your peer, and I'm now treating you the way you treat me all the time. It's just basically you're being treated the way you treat others. You're being thought of the way you think of others who are equal to you. Mainly people at work, people on your same level. Other ICI teachers. Okay. Let's put it this way. I took religion at Princeton, right? And the one thing I remember, not much else, what would happen if your religious beliefs spread throughout the whole world? What would happen if the way you think was the way everybody thought? That's the test of a religious belief. Yeah. So, what would happen if everybody in the world acted the way you do about their peers? Yeah. How would the world be? Oh God, it'd be a big mess. It'd be like 5 billion jealous people. 5 billion competing people. They shouldn't have a Dharma center. They shouldn't be bigger than ours. They shouldn't have more students than ours. They shouldn't have more sponsors than ours. They shouldn't have big crowds coming to their thing and nobody coming to us. You see? You see? Do you really want everybody to think the way you think? Are you that confident about the purity of your mind? You see? What would happen if the whole world thought like you? Here's how it would be. How? Oh, now you're equal, right? I should get more off respect, even if I have to fight for them. Even if I have to fight for them. I should get more. By the way, offerings and respect are the two things that monks in India were after. And monks in Tibet. I mean, it's called the Nyeng Kurti. Nyeng means material offerings that you get from your students and your sponsors. Mula, air tickets, nice dinners, place to stay in Central Park, penthouse. Those are Nyeng. Okay? Like, stuff you could get out of your students and your sponsors. And then Kurti is like, that they love you, that they respect you, that they bow down to you, that they show deference, you know, treat you like a big person. These were the two things that all spiritual teachers, especially in Nalanda Monastery, had to watch out for. And that becomes a thing, right? And that's why it's not good to mix money you know, if you can teach for free, it's good. If you don't have to buy places, it's good. You know, if you don't have to keep places, it's good. You know, that the fact that the Dharma, most of what we do has been happening in people's living rooms for free, is I think a very wonderful thing. You don't have a central ACI government to speak of. I mean, you don't have worldviews like, I call it a coalition. If you want to come to Tucson and talk about what you're doing, fine. Well, just keep doing what you're doing, do it. We'll give you the material. We'll give you the stuff. There's no copyright. You know, but it can degenerate into competition for sponsors, students, money, you know, fame, influence. You know, and then you get like sects, and then you get big competing religions, and you know, you see. Until I have more than him. Okay, I should get more. I should have more. This is your fellow ACI teacher thinking about you the way you think about them. Got it? Uncomfortable exchange, isn't it? Okay, got it? It's different from, I'm going to be Vilma and give her a cup of tea because I know I'm thirsty. Got it? You see? This is a dark exchange. Okay, all right. You should write another book about a lighter exchange. I don't know. Good. Nice. Nice. Okay. Oh, you know, how good I meditate, how long retreat I did, how my Tibetan is. Everybody should hear about it. And then, her qualities, nobody should hear about. Whatever achievements she has, spiritually, no one should hear about them. Okay? That's pretty clear, right? It's me looking at my fellow ACI teacher with my mental affliction. So who is the he? The bodhisattva, we call it the bodhisattva. We always call it the bodhisattva or the living being. Sentient or Shangsam, it's still that. Now it's your fellow teachers looking at you. So they're looking at the bodhisattva, which means the apprentice bodhisattva, which is you. So your fellow teachers are looking at you now, but with your mental afflictions. Our fellow teachers, because we're on to competitiveness between equals. Got it? You okay? Not very pleasant experience. Okay. And the idea is to shock you, right? The idea is to allow you to see how twisted your own mind is. Okay. And thank goodness everybody else is not like us. Okay. The world would be terrible. Okay? By the way, I mean, this low self-esteem thing, we're done, okay? We'll stop there, but there's this low self-esteem thing in America, like, people already feel bad enough about themselves. And, these instructions, I think, are for people who are rather strong mentally, healthy mentally, and, you know, you might want to soften it. You might want to go the first way, right? The gentler way. That's up to you. You see. Well, I'm just saying, you judge your students. I don't do it much myself. I just give them the bad news and hit them on the head. But, see how it goes. See how it goes. You know, if there's someone in your group who's already thinks they're the worst person in the world, you might want to say, oh, this is, you know, leave them on an inspiring note and not on a you're mentally ill note. Okay. Yeah. You have to judge your students, and you have to be flexible. If you sense that, just give you an example. In the tour, in the yoga tour, we had a choice. We could get up and say, you've been doing yoga wrong for your whole life. You're doing Ekanga and not Ashtanga. You're doing only one of the eight limbs of yoga and not all eight. You're just doing the asanas. You never even heard the other seven. We could get up and say that and it would be true. And we did that once or twice, and the reaction wasn't like exciting. No, it wasn't like everybody left with a new inspiration, you know. Then we got up, I don't know, one day I was mentioning to a group that one of our lamas, one of the lamas who taught us Tibetan secret practices, yoga practices, said that the fact that 20 million Americans are doing yoga illegally, without 20 years of Geshe course before that, is wonderful. And I'm like, huh? And they said, these 20 million people have been yogis in their past life. They have been high tantric practitioners in their past life. And they are just remembering what they used to do. And they are almost enlightened. Your whole country is a focus of some extraordinary event, you know. You don't even know what's going on in your country. I said, they don't know any. They're not like high yogis. They just want to get skinnier. They're like, no, no, no. These seeds are coming up from their past life. They have been high. They have been through tantra. They have been high tantric practitioners. They are on the verge of enlightenment. You know, 20 million people in your country. This is no accident. This is no, like, joking thing. This is a high spiritual event. It's about to take place in your country. You have to ride that energy. You have to harness that energy. You have to get them to understand what, to remember what they were doing, you see. And that's why we did the tour. Then when you talk like that, everybody in the room is like, yeah, you know, like, you know, yeah, I'm a, let me get back on track where I was last life, you know. I was a geshe, I was a tantrika, I was a yogi, I was about to reach enlightenment. And this recognition came out of people. It wasn't just like some kind of false pride. It was like recognition of who they must have been. And to leave people with that was a lot better. The result of that was like, you know, people would rush up afterwards and say, okay, what do I do next? You know, and you'd say, oh, go study with... Then whoever ICI teacher was sitting there from Houston or Williamsburg or Gainesville or Boston, it was really cool. You'd say, go talk to Nancy Karen, you know. And then there was these classes just sprung up everywhere. It's really cool. So I personally think you should end a class like that. Like, depress them in the middle. And then at the end, you know, leave them with some kind of, you know, you could, you know, you're about to do it, you know. And did anybody get me some questions ready? Okay. Then we'll come back. The last one is kind of happy, okay? You get to do class 9, which is sort of a happy class. So don't think you just have to get people depressed. All right.
Thank you.